So I'm going to pray and I'm going to dive right into the word tonight. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I just come to you tonight and I thank you for the opportunity, God, that we have to minister your word, God, but to come to this place, God, and just speak your word, to love each other, God, to build each other up, God, to encourage each other, Father. So Lord, I pray tonight, God, that your word would go forth, God, that your word, God, would just be a life-changing word. I pray tonight, God, that it would be anointed word, God. I ask, Lord God, that you anoint every word, God, that comes out of my mouth, God, every word that's being ministered tonight, Father. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in this service tonight. I thank you, God, for the healings. I thank you, God, for the deliverance, God. And I thank you, God, that you're going to speak to your people tonight, Father. So, Lord, I pray this. I pray for all the churches all over the world, God, that are preaching and teaching your gospel. Bless them, God, the same way you bless us. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. Well, I've titled this message tonight, Igniting a Passion for God. I believe this. I believe we are in a place and a time where we need to ignite a passion. Now, when I use the word passion, I'm talking about an excitement. I'm talking about something that is life-changing. I'm talking about an encounter you have with God in his presence that will change you forever. Because all it takes is one step into God's presence. All it takes is one word for God to your life to change you and to ignite something inside of you for the rest of your life. And so I believe tonight, as we talk about igniting a passion, we're going to be talking about igniting a passion for God, but we're going to be talking about becoming a church of fire. Because I believe this, I believe we need to become a church of fire. So I want you to write this down real quick if you're taking notes. Real quick, I want to write this down. A church on fire equals passion, power, and purpose. I believe three things that mean so much to us as a church. A church that's going to make a difference. A church that's going to change the world. A church that's going to change our local communities. It's a church that's got to have passion. It's got to have the demonstration of power through God. Not your own power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. The power that only God can give you. And then it's got to have a purpose. What is the reason for a church to be here if there's no purpose? We have to have a purpose. And so tonight I'm going to highlight some things out of this scripture. Out of Acts chapter 2, verse 14, it's just a passage in the Word of God that I love. And it says it like this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one what? Place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided in tongues as the fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled, say filled. Filled. Come on, say filled. Filled. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, I want you to see something out of this passage real quick. And if you didn't see it, I'm going to give you a little bit of context of this. This event was so significant. Here's why. During this event and the significance of it, it birthed the Christian church. It birthed the Christian church. And it only took one time, one place, for the Spirit of God to show up to do a change that flipped the world upside down and put a world full of passion for Jesus. And so that tells me today that it only takes us as believers coming to the house of God, sitting in a worship service, getting a message, and having our lives changed with passion. And having the Spirit of God just drop on us and change our life forever. I love how we do the Holy Spirit nights here. He doesn't just come one night. He comes all the time. But we do the Holy Spirit night here, and I love it because it's a place where all the believers come together, and we seek the Spirit of God, and God shows up every time. But see, I believe this. I believe God will show up in your car while you're driving down the street. I believe God will show up in your workplace while you're at work, fighting with somebody, arguing with somebody, maybe at the coffee thing, like trying to get your coffee before them, and the Spirit of God says, who you represent? Pull back a little bit. Let the others go. Now, I know that could be a hard thing to do, guys. Come on. How many of you have ever waited in a restaurant a long time, and all of a sudden you hear the Spirit of God say, let that person go before you're like, no, I don't want him to go. And you're like, he's like, let him go. Or how about the grocery store? When you got a cart full of things, and someone has like two or three things in their cart, and you look at them, you're like, nah, I'm going to let them go. No, I ain't going to do it. But then the Spirit of God says, let them go. See, I believe, church, that we need to get challenged in being obedient to what the Spirit is speaking. I believe, church, that not only are we going to be challenged, that he's going to wait for us to operate in the obedience that he's desiring from us. And so this passage not only births the church, but I love this because it brings the spreading of the message of salvation. It is so important that we tell somebody about Jesus. We cannot be a submarine Christian and never speak about our faith. We cannot be a Christian that doesn't have the boldness to rise up and say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a believer. Oh, and let me tell you how good God is in my life. Because how do we display God to others if we don't tell them how good he is in our life? I've had many conversations with people, and they're like, well, God has never done anything for me, or God hasn't done anything with me. And I said, well, do you know who Jesus is? And they're like looking at me, well, I know him on Easter, and I know him on Christmas, like the basic question or the basic answer that you would get. And I say, no. Do you know who he is? Do you have a relationship with him? And then I begin to share them what God has done in my life. And then they get an excitement. They're like, man, I want that. And then you lead them to Christ. It's an open door. And I believe that we're going to be challenged in these next seasons of our life to have a passion to tell people about Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but I know Pastor Dan will see these seats filled with people. But here's the thing. I want to see people that are unsaved in these seats. Why? So they can give their heart and life to Jesus. So two events that took place that were significant during this time was the birth of Christian church and the message of salvation. So what does that look like for us as a church, and what does that look like for you and I? Number one is this, becoming a church on fire. Number one is this, it has great passion. A church that's on fire for God has passion. A church that wants to see the world change, a church that wants to see the cities change, a church that wants to see the school systems change, a church that wants to see the universities change, they have a passion for God. In the passage we just read, we see that the Holy Spirit came and the disciples got filled. And they weren't only filled, they began to have passion to preach the gospel. Maybe you're saying this place, I don't got passion. You need to get alone with the Holy Spirit. You need to get into a place in your life and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Give me that passion that I need in my life. I can't do this alone. I need to be connected to you, and I need this, Holy Spirit, so I need you. Help me. You know, I went through a time in my life where I lost passion. I could be honest with you guys. Is that okay? There's a time where you go through situations, you go through things in life, and you start questioning, right? Anybody been like that, or is it just me? Okay, there we go. We got truthful Christians out here, right? And so, you know, and we go through things, and we go through stuff, and we start questioning things in our life. And we say, God, what's going on? I don't understand this. Why is this happening? Why do I feel this way? Why is this taking place? And why is this taking root in my life? And all of a sudden, God says, wait a minute. You're losing passion for me. When was the last time you prayed? Come on. When was the last time you got into worship? Come on. When was the last time you surrendered and lifted your hands and said, God, I praise you. I lift your name up. I adore your name, God. You are the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. When was the last time you did that? I go, oh, God, it was a while. He said, that's why you lost your passion. And so here's what I recognized, is when I got into that place of passion and I began to lift his name up and I began to pray and I began to seek his face and I began to go to my knees and just pray and ask God to show me his passion, all of a sudden it was like his microwave just went, whew, he just hit it and bam, passion fell. Now here's why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because you could experience the same thing. It's not because we're up here behind a pulpit or preaching the gospel. It's for all believers. It's for all people. We could all receive this. We could all have passion. As a matter of fact, it was very evident, the passion that they had when the Holy Spirit hit them, because their preaching and their actions showed it in their daily lives. In their daily lives, their preaching and their actions showed the passion that was imparted to them through the Holy Spirit. In our lives, the passion that God gives us could be a great demonstration for others who are around us. And they can say to you, oh, they can say this to you. They can say this. Sorry, I get a little crazy. Is that all right? Okay, good. So they can say to you, oh, Doug, why are you always so excited? Why is everybody around you like not happy, but you're so excited? And all of a sudden you're like, because I got Jesus in my life. And I got his passion inside of me. But here's some evidence of why the early church had passion and preached the gospel with passion. It's like a little checklist. If you want to take a checklist and say check one, check two, it's all good. But here it is. They had a strong conviction in the teachings of Jesus Christ. They had an uncompromising faith in spreading the message of the gospel. Were willing to endure persecution, suffering, and even to death. Here's another one. They operated in a countercultural manner, demonstrating love, compassion, and care for those in need. They were known for their unity, community, and fellowship. The early church grew rapidly through the power of the Holy Spirit, performing miracles, signs, and wonders that attracted people and brought people to a place of desiring what they had and what God can do. They were also bold. Oh, I love this one. They were also bold and unapologetic in their preaching, speaking out against injustice, immorality, and idolatry. Church, I believe this. I believe with all my heart. I believe that God is looking for a church that is ready to be like the early church, to flip a world upside down and have the passion and have the purpose and power of the Holy Spirit operating and functioning in their daily lives at a regular time, all the time. I believe that's what God is looking for in the church. I believe people will walk through these doors and God will, as soon as they walk in, the presence of God will hit them and they'll be healed. I believe they'll walk through these churches, and as soon as they walk in to the front towards the altar, they'll be in tears because the presence of God has hit them. I believe that people will walk in that are carrying demonic activity in their life, and they come to the altar and it'll disappear because of the power of Jesus. A church to burn with the passion in his love and get into the presence on a regular basis. I believe what God is looking for. I love what A.W. Tozer says. He says it like this. Nothing in this world measures up to a simple pleasure of experience the passion and the presence of God. If you've ever been in the presence of God, nothing can mount up to it. If you've ever been in the presence of God, nothing in your life can compare to it. The presence of God is real. The presence of God will change you, and the presence of God will bless you. You know, I was thinking back when I was younger, and then my boys were younger at the time. For some reason, they always wanted Dad to make mac and cheese. Now, I don't know if that's just all I knew how to make. I'm just being honest with you, very transparent, Pastor, very real. Or if it was just something special that I did. I opened the craft box, poured it in the water, and let it cook. There was nothing special about that, although I did take some time and shredded up some cheese, some sharp cheddar cheese, to give it extra cheese. But my kids loved it. But God always speaks to me in like different ways. I don't know about you guys, but the other day I was making it for my grandkids. My little grandkids were coming up, and my two-year-old grandson, Josiah, just loved this kid. And Elijah, the one that ran around the kitchen, and he's coming up, and he's watching me make it. And as he's watching me make it, I'm telling him, hey, don't go near the stove, dude. Nope, don't go near there. It's hot. It'll burn you. Don't go near there. And so, you know, as little kids, they want to, like, test you. And it's like, trust me, you don't want to touch that. That is hot. You could see the flames coming up. And God showed me an image. And what he showed me was hot water. It took to boil and cook that mac and cheese. But as I'm looking at the fire, he said the Holy Spirit ignites a fire within us, and his passion for Jesus should always be evident in your life. Come on, somebody, if you believe that tonight, that you believe God and puts a passion inside of you, and that your evidence of him should show to other people. So what does that mean for you and I? Here's what it means. Let us examine our hearts and ask this question. Am I on fire for God? Are we passionate about His word, His will, and His church? Sometimes we got to ask ourselves these questions. Kind of a self-check, you know, kind of just get a place of like, you know what, am I doing this? Or have I lost my passion here? Have I lost my zeal here? Do I find myself praying more than I find myself reading the word of God? I remember one time in my life, I was praying. And one of the ladies that used to work here years and years ago came up to me and goes, your problem's not that you're praying. Your problem is that you're not reading the word. You need a healthy balance. And I believe this, we need a healthy balance in our life. I believe that we need to have the Spirit of God in us. I believe we need to be reading the Bible. I believe that we need to be praying in tongues. I believe we need to get the word so deep in us that when we're around people, that's what comes out of us. I believe we need to step into that place and in that area of our life. And I believe this, church, I believe that God is looking, and I think we need to allow the Holy Spirit to ignite a fire within us, to renew us and our passion for the things of Christ. Can't get lazy in this area. I love what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. It says, never be what? Lazy. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. In other words, this, we cannot be lazy in our walk with God. We cannot be lazy in our relationship with Jesus. We need to stir up our passion inside of us and get some enthusiasm in us. Come on, I know we work long hours. I know it gets tough, but we still need to stir ourselves up, get enthusiasm in us and say, man, God, whatever that is, I'm going after it, God, because I got a passion to serve you, God. I got a passion to see change. I got a passion to see people come to you, Jesus. So here's a challenge to all of us, including myself. I want a challenge. All of us to maintain our passion for Him and His church. Can we do that tonight, church? Can we maintain our passion for Him and His church? Tonight we're talking about the fire. We're talking about a church on fire. Number two is this. It demonstrates power. A church on fire demonstrates power. A church on fire, when I say demonstrate power, it brings in a power of God that brings change to people's lives. Another essential aspect of this church is not only that it's the power of God, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I love what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And if you've been in church a long time, you'll know this verse, but it says this. But you shall receive what? Power. Come on, you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and all over Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of what? The earth. Here's what's so great about this passage. Here's what's so great about this. Here it is. Listen, here's what it is. The power is not just limited to the early church. Oh, no, I don't know if you got it. The power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is not just limited to the early church, but it's available for us. Whoa, it's available for us when? Today. Right now, right in this moment, it's available for us. And what does that do? The power of the Holy Spirit helps us do what? Overcome sin, gives us a boldness inside of our life, helps us share the gospel of Jesus, and helps us live a victorious, come on, a victorious what? Christian life. How many are tired of seeing Christians beat up? How many of you are tired of being beat up yourself? How many are ready to say, you know what? I need a life of victorious. I need a life of change. I need to walk in the victories that God has given me. Although I feel like I don't walk in the victories at times, but I know that my God is promised God. My God's a real God. My God don't make things up. And because I know He don't make things up, guess what? He gives me the victory to get through the hard things. There's a story in Acts chapter 12. I love this story because I love Peter. Anybody like Peter in the Word of God? Peter crazy, right? Peter loud, Peter wild, Pete wanted to cut people's ears off. Like, the dude's crazy. But Peter had such a heart and a passion for God. He had such a heart and a passion for the things of God. So much that Peter was, in Acts chapter 12, Peter was out preaching the word of God to all the people. filled with the Spirit, just going out preaching the gospel. Anybody remember the first time you got filled with the Holy Ghost? And all of a sudden you wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, and you wouldn't stop, and people were like, what is wrong with you? You're like, nothing's wrong with me. You're like, no, something is wrong with you. You keep talking about this God. I don't know who this God is. You're like, no, nothing is wrong with me. Here's what's wrong. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit, but I am. So do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So here's Peter, man. He's just preaching the gospel all over the place. But what I love about Peter is this. Peter preached to a point where Peter was arrested. But the exciting thing about this being arrested, you're like, what, being arrested? Yes. Is God got to use the church to demonstrate his power. Which tells me this. Because let me just back up a moment. While Peter was arrested, what took place was the church was praying for Peter. Hold on, I don't know if you guys got this or not. Who was praying for Peter? Who? And they were doing what? Praying for Peter. Why? Because here's Peter, bound in prison. Peter was locked up. Peter was chained. Peter was not going anywhere, but the church still had the ability and the availability and the power of the Holy Spirit through their prayers freed Peter. God demonstrates his power through the church. During the night, while he's arrested, and the church is praying for him, all of a sudden, what happened is this, right before trial, an angel of the Lord appeared and miraculously set him free. Now, if the church, here's what I believe, and I might be wrong, so all you theologians out there can correct me later, but if the church was not praying during this time of Peter being arrested, I'm not sure if the angel would have showed up and freed him. Because here's what I believe. I believe the church praying activated something inside of not just the people, but God as well, was activated by the passion and by their drive of praying and by the power of the Spirit of God, said, now I'm going to free Peter because he did nothing wrong but preach the gospel. Here's what it tells me, church, listen. Here's what it tells me. He could demonstrate the same power here through our church. He could demonstrate that same power here through our church. Oh, man, whoa, I got to stop. I want to do something real fast. Is that okay? Y'all look at me like, no, you're crazy. No, I'm not. If you're sick in this place, stand to your feet right now. If you need healing in your body, stand to your feet. Come on. If your mind is messing with you tonight, stand to your feet. If you're in this place tonight and you're having bad nightmares, bad dreams, and you're just, your mind's going over, stand to your feet if you're able to. If not, I see your hand. Lift your hands to Jesus right now. Church, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. What's praying do is what? We're going to demonstrate the power of God in the lives of these people. So as a church, since we're all here together, we're going to stretch our hands out. And we're going to pray. Father, I thank you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, we don't need to know what they're standing for. We don't need to know everything that's going on. But Jesus, you do. So, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that you demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit in every believer and every person, God, that's in this room, God. Every single one of us, God, that's in this room, God, is sick, that needs deliverance, God, that needs healing in their body, God, that needs mind control fixing, God, that needs to be free in their mind. I ask right now, in the name of Jesus, just like when the church came together and prayed and Peter was freed from prison for preaching the gospel, we come together as a church and we pray that you set your people free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Miller J. Erickson said it like this: it is the Holy Spirit who conveys the power to the church. Holy Spirit wants to pour his power out on the church. We need to not rely on our own strength anymore, church. We can't rely on ourselves anymore. And our abilities, but we must step into the power of the Holy Spirit. Rock Church, can I ask that we can be bold about walking and stepping into the power of the Holy Spirit tonight? Can we learn and can we continue to pray for the sick? Can we love and serve others around us? And can we be led by the Spirit of God and be that church on fire for God tonight that has demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believers? We walk out of this place tonight that we're healed and we're set free, not because of Pastor Donnie, not because of anyone praying for you, but because God demonstrating his power to the church. Becoming a church on fire, number three is this. It lives with a purpose. A church that's on fire for God has a purpose, and the purpose is to serve God. The purpose is to see their communities changed. It's to see their families restored. It's to see people set free. It's to see their families and their friends who are on their way to heaven or on their way to hell. It's to see God show up in their lives and change the direction of their heart, change the direction of their life. Why? Because the church on fire has a purpose, and that's to reach those who are unreachable as well. Purpose can be defined as this, if you're taking notes. It could be defined as a reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. In Acts chapter 2, we see this very clearly in the early church. We see this sense of purpose within the early church. It was a time for them to gather together for teaching, for fellowship, and what? Communion. They even shared the possessions and were devoted to prayer. When I think of it like this, I look at the Rock Church and say, we do these things. We do those things. We come to church and we gather. We come to church together and we listen to the teachings. We come and we fellowship. We have community after church at times, and we do communion as well. And let's look at it real quick in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. It says it like this. In the New King James, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in what? Prayers. The fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all things in common. And they sold their possessions and their goods and divided among all as anyone has need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from the house to house, they ate their food with a gladness and simplicity of what heart? Praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church. Wait a minute, the Lord did what? He did what? One more time, he did what? He added to the church when what? The church had a purpose. Praising God and having favor with the people, and all the Lord did, added people to the church daily, those who were being what? Saved. A church with purpose brings God to a place who says, I'm going to add people to this church. A church that's doing something for the kingdom of God. A church that's doing something for what God has asked them to do. A church that's walking in obedience. A church that's being the church and beacon light that are called to be. God will bring people to that church, and God will get them saved, and they will be souls added to the kingdom. How do you know, Pastor Donnie? Here's how I know. It says it in the Word of God. I just read you the scripture here. I'll read it again. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added, the Lord did what? Added to the church daily those who were being saved. Unity and purpose propelled the early church to reach the world with the gospel. Coming into a place of unity, coming into a place of purpose, it propelled them to reach the world for the gospel. Here at our church, if I could just be honest with you guys, here at our church, we have a purpose. We have a great purpose. As a matter of fact, we care for the lost. We feed the poor. We take care of the widow. We support the missionaries. We disciple. We build. We train leaders. We do things for you guys to get you involved so that you can have the impartation of the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Men's conference, women's conference. Oh, wait a minute. All church conference. It's not for us. It's for you guys, the church, to be a part so you can be imparted to. And you can get built up and you can get filled with the Spirit of God and you can get filled with the power of God, and then you can go out and make disciples. And as you make disciples, those disciples can make more disciples and disciples over and over, and God's kingdom grows. So I can be real with you guys. His church has a purpose. Come on, somebody, if you believe that. This church has a purpose. Say it. This church has a purpose. Come on, say it like you mean it. This church has a purpose. No, no, no. You're not saying it like you mean it. I need you to be real. Say it. This church has a what? Come on, somebody, shout purpose. You know, in a forest fire, it's kind of bad talking about fires right now, so forgive me. But in a forest fire, each tree is engulfed in flames. And then the heat and light from the fire are visible from afar. As individual believers, let me say this again. As individual believers, we may be like the tree on fire. But when we come together as a church on fire, we can reach so much more than we can by ourselves, because there's more and we're stronger together when we do things as a church, what? Together. So we need to be and have an intentionality of living out our purpose as a church. And I know we do a great job of that here. Otherwise, you guys wouldn't be here tonight. But we do a great job at gathering together. We do a great job praying with one another, praying with each other, encouraging one another in our faith. We do a great job like that. It's not one time that I don't come into this church that I'm not encouraged. I came into youth ministry today, and my heart was so blessed by this teenager. I'm doing check-in. Yep, pastor's doing check-in at the front desk. I don't care. I'm going to serve where they need. And I'm checking kids in, and this kid comes in. Sweet kid comes in and goes, "Hey, Pastor Donnie." I said, "Hey, bud." He goes, "What has God spoke to you yet today?" I'm like, "Well, God speaks to me all the time." He goes, "Well," I go, "Well, he speaks to me, and you know, he's been speaking to me a lot." And he goes, "Well, because you were on my heart last night, and I was praying for you." I'm talking about 11 years old, maybe 12 years old. "You were on my heart last night, Pastor Donnie, and I was praying for you, that God gave you, that God would speak to you something today." That's a young kid. That's a kid already planted in the house of God. And I'm going to go back to what I was saying. There's not one day I come into this church without my faith being encouraged. Come on, somebody, if that happens to you, and believe God, encourage your faith. Let Jesus know tonight. So tonight I'm going to do this. Before I conclude tonight, I have a challenge for the church. My challenge to all of us is this. Let's continue to be the church on fire for God. A church of passion, power, and a purpose. Let everything that we do remind us and ourselves that we're doing it for Jesus. Yeah. That way you have the passion. That way you get that power demonstrated in your life. And that way you walk in the purpose of God. Come on, somebody, if you believe that tonight, let's give God a praise. So let's take a moment for ourselves real quick. We're just going to reflect a little bit on this message. So let's just take a moment real quick. Tonight, maybe you're in this place and you heard this message about the church being on fire. Maybe you're in this place tonight and you've came into a settlement in your heart and you're saying to yourself, "I've not fulfilled some of these areas that you're talking about, Pastor." Or maybe you're in this place tonight and you're saying to yourself, "How do I get that passion? How do I get that power demonstrated in my life? Or how do I walk into the purpose of what we have and what God has for us?" Tonight, what I want you to do is just take a moment in silence with the Lord. And I want you to ask God this question. Maybe God, do I need to stir up my passion? God, do I need to get more involved in the things of church? Do I need to get around people that are more passionate than I am to catch that passion they have? Ask the Lord that question tonight. Maybe you're in this place tonight and you feel like you don't even have a purpose in life. And you heard this message about God has a purpose in the church. Well, you are the church. And God has a purpose for you and your life. And so maybe you need to ask the Lord tonight, what is my purpose, God? Not everyone's called to be a pastor. Not everyone's called to be a teacher, a musician. Not everybody's called to be behind a pulpit. But God has called every one of us for a special purpose in our life to fulfill. And so maybe you need to ask the Lord this question tonight. What is my purpose? Why do I exist, God? And what is my purpose in life? And maybe you're in this room tonight. And you're saying, God, how can I be a part of the purpose here at the Rock Church? I come to the church. I get fed with the messages. I get fed with the worship. I have encounters with you, God. But God, I haven't stepped into what the real purpose is that you have for me here at the Rock. Maybe that's you serving in children's ministry. Maybe it's you becoming a mentor and breaking free. Maybe it's just to go to Bible college and learn more about the Word of God. Maybe it's to be an usher. Maybe it's to be on the security team. Maybe it's to work with teenagers. I don't know. But God knows the purpose that he has for your life. And so let's just take a moment and ask God those questions, because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you tonight. And I believe he wants to show you some of these things right now in this place. Father, I thank you for being a good God. I thank you, God, for speaking, God, to your people tonight, God. I thank you, God, for just moving on their hearts, God. I thank you, God, for unfolding the plans, God, that you have for their life, the purpose, God, you have for their life, God. I pray, God, you fill them up with your passion, oh God. I pray, God, that you would demonstrate your power in their life as well, Jesus. And I thank you that we have a church, God, that's full of these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Pastor Joel, come on up, man.
Well done, Pastor Donnie. Wow, church on fire. Oh, my God. The conference already started tonight. Wow, praise God. The Lord's here. You know, I don't know if you know this, but the Rock Church and World Outreach Center affects the world, and you have affected the world in Cuba. Listen to this video that's by Tim and Eunice Taylor, our missionaries that are on the ground, boots on the ground, ministering the gospel because of your generosity. Check it out.
Tim and Eunice Taylor, missionaries we support with Global Team Network, have recently returned from a trip to Cuba. In Cuba, Tim and his team experienced a revival of multiplication, witnessing the growth of church homes that are impacting local communities all over Cuba. They saw how people were being transformed by God and boldly sharing this with their neighbors and the people surrounding them. They also worked firsthand with local leaders who have started small Bible schools in the towns of Artemisa and Alquizar to instill the people of Cuba with the Word of God, equipping them with a new curriculum and a projector for the work. During ministry at church, they saw how many young men would weep at the altar as they were being healed and received the love of the Father. All this serves as an encouragement to the local leaders as we partner with them in prayer. Let's rejoice in the good work that is taking place for our brothers and sisters of the country of Cuba. Thank you, Rock Church, for your generous gift towards missions.
Wow. Yes, you're affecting the world. There's many, many ways to give. Our app is on the screen right now. Text to Give is probably the easiest. Download the app. If you're in the house today and you need an envelope, our ushers are standing right by you. We could raise your hand and they'll get an envelope to you. Your generosity furthers the passion and the purpose and the anointing of the gospel to succeed. Without your gifts and without your offerings, we can't do anything. So your generosity, your intention, your ability to step in and let God use your resources that he's given us to advance the gospel all over the world. You might never get to Cuba, but God will, using your tithes and offerings. So with all our hearts in this, how many are ready to give? How many are ready to support the gospel? Promote him, promote Jesus Christ all over the world. Let me pray for your offering. Father God, in Jesus' name I pray, Lord, today, that every giver this week and all throughout the campus, Lord, whether online, on campus, Lord, every gift you smile upon, you put favor upon. And I pray, Father God, that as they see and hear and believe, that it ignites a passion in them to advance even more of the gospel, that their generosity is unleashed to the nations, that they see global change, but it starts in the heart of every individual that acts in faith with the, like you did in the gospel with the little boy's lunch, the little boy that was willing to give up his lunch to change the thousands. Lord, today we willingly put our heart and our faith in the gift and the tithes of the offerings of that are going into campus as we speak, online, on campus, all over. Thank you, Father, for your faithful, willing vessels that advance the gospel to regions that we probably will never get to, but you can. Thank you for a church on fire and on purpose, that we do this intentionally. We do this and by faith, because we want to see the gospel not only spread all over the Linden Empire, but all over the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. As the ushers begin to pick up the offering, I only have one announcement, and it's to take your phones out if you haven't already and download the Rock app. I think this is very, 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 very cool. We provided a way for you now to get RockCon, which is coming up, online. Now, through this app, you could actually purchase your tickets. If you haven't purchased your tickets, you made a statement today, Pastor Dan, it's not going online. We're not going to show it online. So if you want this impartation, the fresh fire and messages that are going to come from this pulpit, you need to have a buy-in. A buy-in is you need to put your faith forward and believe God for the resources of what God's going to bring you so you can experience what's going to happen on this pulpit. It's not going to happen online. We're not going to show it online. This app makes it easy to not only track the conference, but to get details that we're not sharing through our videos and announcements right now. So download this app. This app is for you, and it's easy to use. It's easy. It's for you. It explains everything that's going on in the conference. We'll update it. You could take your notes. It's really, really, really cool. I was thumbing through it this afternoon, and I said, wow, we put together something very beautiful for you. If you've not registered, you do not want to miss out. This conference is for you. You're going to have an impartation like Pastor Donnie explained, a power, passion, and all that thing. All what God is doing is going to do this weekend here. So check in and get in and let not money be a hindrance to you. Everyone needs to be attending this conference. Don't make excuses. We all have them. You could find a way. I've discovered this a long time ago. When people want to, they do. They make a way. If they want to bad enough, I raised children, and when children wanted something, when somebody wanted something from me, they found a way to bug me till I got it to them. It's the same way with our faith. If we're intentional about it, then there is no excuses. They're put aside. God, I want you. I want this passion. I want the purpose. I want what is happening this weekend. Why are you pushing it, Pastor Joel? Because I believe this weekend, God is getting ready to unload something amazing and beautiful here at The Rock through what we're doing at RockCon. Okay? So pay attention to the screens, and then Pastor Donnie is going to get back up here and has something special for you. Don't leave to close out the service. God bless you.
A church in San Bernardino. A church aflame. A church desiring to seek the face of God. For 2 days, we're going to gather to worship, to hear the word of God, and be empowered by His grace. This is a gathering of all generations, all tribes, all tongues. An army that'll shake the works of darkness and usher in the kingdom of God.
There's actually still mentorship and gifting on your life. There's actually still a call. You didn't miss it because you didn't do it in your 20s. You didn't miss it if you didn't do it in your 30s. You didn't miss it if you didn't step into it in your 40s, no matter your age.
You have a grace that is sufficient. You have an anointing that annihilates the yoke. You have a gift that cannot be revoked, a destiny that cannot be stopped. You have mercies that are new every morning. You have the strength of the Father, the grace of the Son, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you have Jesus. You have everything you need.
Sign your little ones up for RockCon Kids. They're going to hear powerful messages, experience amazing worship, plus fun games and activities on their level. Special sessions for the youth. Group discounts are available. Lunch is included in registration.
RockCon is less than 10 days away. The conference starts Friday, September 13th. We can't wait. Here's what you need to know. We've added a conference prayer rally at 4 p.m. in the youth auditorium. Check-in and dinner vendors will open at 4:30 p.m. Dinner vendors will be available on campus, so there's no need to leave after the prayer rally. If you haven't already purchased your ticket, visit the website for the full schedule. Visit www.rockchurch.com/rockcon24today.
Come receive the grace to walk in power and authority. You will never be the same.
I just want to encourage you guys to get out there. It's going to be a great conference. God is going to show up. God's going to do so much in the lives of all those who come to the conference. But before I dismiss you guys tonight, I would just like to take a few more moments of your time, if that's okay. Because I did talk about a church being on fire, and I talked about a church having purpose and demonstrating the power of God and having passion. But I want to ask you this question, and I just need you to be really honest with yourself. I didn't see any visitors tonight, but that's okay. Because I never know where anybody's at in their life and their walk with God. And tonight I want to give every one of you the opportunity to receive the greatest invitation you will ever receive in your life, and that's having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Tonight I want you to ask yourself this question, that if you got up out of your chair, you walked out of these doors, and all of a sudden you got in a car accident, and your life was taken instantly, would you be in heaven or would you be in hell? Ask yourself this question. You might be thinking to yourself today, well, Pastor, I go to church on Sundays. I go to church on Sunday night, and I even go on Wednesdays. Great. I'm glad you go to church. And I wanted you to continue to go to church. But going to church does not get you into heaven. You might be thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, I'm a good person. I haven't really done anything wrong in my life. I've messed up here, I've messed up there, but I'm really a good person, and you know, and I'm glad you're a good person, but being a good person doesn't get you into heaven. You can't say, Jesus, I was good and I'm going to make it. Some of you in this room tonight might be in this place, and you might be thinking to yourself, well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. I mean, Pastor, I don't want to end up in hell, so I hope I'm going to go to heaven. But nowhere in this word of God, nowhere will you find in the scripture, nowhere will you find in here anything about saying you can hope your way into heaven. Some of you might in this room tonight might be saying to yourself, I think I'm going to make it. Listen, nowhere in the word of God will you find yourself saying, thinking your way into heaven. It's not a place where you're going to sit there and go, I'm in heaven, I'm there. No, nowhere in the word of God to say you can think your way into heaven, nowhere. See, the only way you're going to get into heaven is this, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You inviting Jesus in to be the Lord of your life. You inviting Jesus into your heart. You inviting Him in and surrendering all your wants, all your desires, and saying, Jesus, I want what you have for me in my life. You come into that place. Your family member can't do it for you. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your spouse, your wife, anybody, they can't do it for you. It has to be a personal relationship between you and Him. And so tonight I want to ask you this question, everyone in this room, from the front to the back to the side to the side. If you're in this room tonight and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, I'm not sure if I would make it to heaven. Did I want you to be honest with yourself tonight and say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior? I'm going to make it real easy for you in this room tonight. All I'm going to do is this, is I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three, bang, just like that. When you hear me go one, two, three, bang, like that. If you're in this room and you've never given Jesus Christ your whole life, your whole heart, and tonight you want to receive him, all I want you to do is slip your hand up right where you're at, all over this room. Pastor, why do I got to raise my hand? I'll be embarrassed. Listen, the word of God says this, if you confess me before men, then I'll confess you before my Father. Confession is a hand up in the air. But the next part of that verse says, but if you deny me, then I'll deny you. Sitting with your arms crossed, I don't need no Jesus. I'm good. I think I can make it on my own. But if I could be honest with you, if you can't raise your hand up in a room with other believers in here, you'll never live for him outside of the church. So maybe you're in this room tonight and you're saying to yourself, I know I need to get right with Jesus. Pastor, I know tonight if it was my last night here on earth and I died, I don't want to end up in hell, but I know that I want to give my heart to Jesus and I want to stand in eternity with him. Let me frame this for you real quick. Let me just show you something real quick. Let me picture this for you. In the first picture, you came to church tonight. You heard the word of God. You got into worship. You heard all the announcements. You saw the conference stuff. You got excited about the word. And God's doing something in your life. And Pastor Doty said, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, you're going to count to three. And when he goes one, two, three, bang, like that. And you're in a place you're going to respond and say, I need my heart. I need to get right with Jesus. But what if you're in this room tonight? In the first picture, I'm going to show you two different pictures. In the first one, you're in this room and you said this. When I said one, two, three, bang, like that, you sat there and you didn't raise your hand. But you left this place tonight. You stood before Jesus and he said these words to you. Do you remember that loudmouth preacher that was preaching at you tonight, talking to you? You're like, yeah, I remember him. Do you remember when he said he was going to count to three and give you the greatest invitation of your life? And you're like, yeah, I remember. Do you remember when you didn't want to respond because you were embarrassed? And he said these words, depart from me. I never knew who you were. Okay, now listen. Here's the next picture. Frame two. Frame two. You came to church, got excited. Word of God was imparted to you. Your life was changed. You got empowered. Pastor Donnie said, one, two, three. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, bang, like that. And all of a sudden, you raised your hand. You left. An earthquake came over Southern California, wiped most of us out. You were one of those people. You're like, man, Pastor, you're dramatic. No, this is facts. It's reality. You could leave church tonight, get in a car accident. You could leave church tonight, end up in a hospital. I don't wish that, pray that, I want that on nobody. But this is reality, this is life. And I said, one, two, three, bang, if you want to give your heart to Jesus. And you raise your hand. And tonight you end up standing before God. And him saying, do you remember when you were at the Rock Church? You're like, yeah. Do you remember when he said he was going to count to three, one, two, three, and go bang like that? You're like, yeah. And you remember, you raised your hand, you said you want to receive me. Because you received me, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Now, there's picture one and picture two. What picture do you want to draw out of tonight? What picture do you see your life in tonight? So all over this room, I'm going to count to three. If you're in this place tonight and you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus, tonight is your night of salvation. If you're in this room tonight and you say, you know, Pastor, I gave my life to him at one time. I became lukewarm. I wasn't really fully serving God. I was a little half in, half out. That's called a lukewarm Christian. And in Revelations chapter 3, the interesting thing is this, is the Lord is speaking this to the churches, not to the people outside the church. But he says this, when I come back, not if I come back, but the word of God says when. That means he is going to come back. When I come back, I better find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What is interesting is he wasn't talking to people outside the walls of the church, but he was talking to the church in the book of Revelations chapter 3. And so maybe that's you in this room tonight, and you're saying to yourself, you know, Pastor, I'm a lukewarm Christian. I'm a little in and a little out. I'm not full-heartedly sold out for God. I haven't, you know, been fully obedient, fully doing what God wants, so I'm a lukewarm Christian. And tonight's your night to say, you know what? You could change that. And tonight I'll rededicate my life and give my heart to Jesus. So who should do this tonight? If you're in this room, you've never given your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. Who else should do this tonight? If you're in this room and you're not sure if you go to heaven or if you go to hell. Or who else should do this tonight? If you're in this room and you know that you're a lukewarm person and you haven't been living right for God and you want a change of direction tonight. So on the count of three, from the front to the side to side, if that's you, all I want you to do is just pop your hand up right where you're at. One, if you're running from God, instead of to God. Two, if you've never done this before. Three, bang, anybody in this room, thank you. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, help me out here, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, where I can't see you guys, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Thank you, Jesus. I got you, 19. I got you. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone in this room says tonight they want to give their life to Jesus. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. This is between you and God. So you come into a place to say, surrender. Is there any more in this place? I'm going to give it a few more moments to let the Spirit of God sit because He's moving. If you see any hands in the family rooms, help me out, ushers. I can't see over there. I got you, 20. Thank you. 20 wise people, is there any more? If that's you, just pop your hand up right where you're at. If there's any more, just pop your hand up right there, right where you're at. I'm going to give you a few more moments and I'm going to close down. Is there any more? All over this room. It's between you and God. No one's going to force you. So you come into a place of surrender and say, here I am, God. I want to give my heart and life to you. I want to rededicate and make it right with you. All right, well, let's give God a praise for 20 wise people tonight. So here's what I want to do right now for all 20 of you that said tonight you want to give your life, your whole heart to Jesus. I want you to do this. I want you to stand up to your feet. I want you to work your way down to the front. As you come out, the church is going to stand and they're going to applaud you. So if that was you and you're serious about this tonight, come on down. We're going to give our lives to Jesus right up here at the altar. Come on down, all 20 of you, this place. Come on down if that's you. Come on, if that's you, come on down. Work your way down. Come on. Come on, guys. Work your way down to family. Work your way down. Work your way down. Come on, guys. Work your way down. Come on. Come on. Families are coming. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. We're waiting for you guys. Come on. We don't get there just by responding. We're going to say a prayer. We're going to invite Jesus into our life. So if that's you, come on down. Come on down, guys. Come on, church. Just give me a hand. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Come on, guys. They're coming. They're coming. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on down. Isn't Jesus good? Hold up, hold up. Put a smile on your face, man. Here's what we're going to do, guys. Thank you for responding to the call of God in your life and your heart. He sees every one of you. And He's so excited that all of you have come into a place, bro, to a place to say, I'm done. I want to give my life and my heart to Jesus. And so here's what we're going to do. As we responded and we raised our hand and we said, yes, I want God. But now what we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer. And the whole church is going to say this together and with you guys. And all we're going to do at this point is we're going to invite Jesus into our life and into our heart. Now, here's what I want you to get. I want you to hear me. If you miss a word or two, don't worry about it. Don't be like, I'm not going to go. No. You're good. Just know you're saying it and doing it with your heart. Okay? So we're going to go ahead and repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I come to you tonight. And I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my heart to you. Jesus, I ask that you come into my heart, that you forgive me for all my sins, that you cleanse me from unrighteousness. Tonight, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Jesus, I have decided to follow you the rest of my life, turning away from hell and turning towards heaven. Holy Spirit, empower me to live for you and fill me with the gifts of the Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Right over here is my friend, Pastor Joel. He is a great man of God. He's going to go ahead and follow him. He's going to give you some information, talk to you about a program we have here, and he's going to welcome you guys into the kingdom. So go ahead and follow Pastor Joel. Well, church, isn't God good? Talk about demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, thank you guys for allowing me to be here with you guys tonight. I was so blessed to be here with you guys, and I just want to pray over you if I dismiss you guys. So go ahead and lift your hands to heaven. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Father, I thank you for the word tonight, God. Lord, I thank you, God, for every single person, God, that's in this room, God. I thank you, Lord, God, that they have passion, God, that they have power, God, that they have a purpose, God. And Lord, I thank you, God, that you bless their finances, God, bless their businesses, bless their kids, God, bless their jobs, Lord, God. I pray a hedge of protection upon them, Father, from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. I plead the blood of Jesus over them, God. And Lord, I pray this, that anything and everything their hands touch shall prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Love you guys. Bless you guys.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you and so do we.